This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
That was a little bit better. It was still, that felt very obligatory, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, hey, we're continuing a series this week called Summer Bod. So let me kind of set this up, just explain a few things that are happening today that don't generally happen. This is not something we normally do. We kind of wanted to do, unfortunately or fortunately, I guess depending on your perspective, you usually just get to listen to me, and that is what it is, right? But so for this series, we've recruited some help. We've got some incredible leaders in this church, and so people who have just very insightful in different and specific areas of just life and ministry and all of these sorts of things. So we're bringing these people on as trainers to help us get our spiritual summer bod. And last week, didn't Jordan and Shelley do such a fantastic job last week? So good, man. So what's funny is, like, I love podcasts. How many of you guys love podcasts? Yes. And so to me, it was like, I went back and listened to it and I'm like, this is like a podcast. I could do this every week. And so we may just end up doing it like this forever. And Shelley's like, no. So anyway, I'm working on it. We're figuring things out as we go here. So we don't generally do this. So this is kind of cool for us. It's something that's out of the routine. And another thing, we'll set this up in a minute, but the topic today is not something that we generally talk about. We don't spend a lot of time talking about our topic today. In fact, so if you want to, you can fact check me on this. I know everybody loves to fact check these days, right? It seems like it. And what's funny, like, I'm kind of guilty of that too. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. So I get it. I completely understand. So we've got somewhere around 560 podcasts that we've done over the course of almost 12 years. You can go back and listen, and less than probably 10 times of all of those podcasts, we've talked about the topic that we're going to talk about today. So, without any further ado, let me introduce our trainers for the day. We've got Miss Kristen Ishihara and Mr. Cody Knight. And so, obviously, you probably weren't here for the first experience. You guys, I'm just telling you, get ready. As T.D. Jakes used to say, or would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's my best T.D. Jakes in person. He does it a lot better than I do. So let's talk about it. We're going to dive in today, and what we are going to talk about, our spiritual discipline for the day is... Where's my drum roll? There we go. Tithing! Yay! Okay, and the reason I said that we don't... I understand. This is what I know. I know that... Everybody has an assumption, not everybody, a lot of people have assumptions that all churches talk about is money. That is not true. Again, go fact check me. Go check our podcast. We don't generally talk about tithing. In fact, if anything, we probably don't talk about it enough, frankly. But it's because of that, because, you know, I don't want people to think that that's what we're interested in. But if we understand it right, then they understand that that's not what we're interested in. So anyway, if you're a guest with us today, we don't normally talk about stuff like this. This is a completely atypical experience, but it's going to be awesome anyway. So let's dive in. Tell me, what is tithing?
So tithing is, and I'm talking specifically about your money, tithing is taking 10% of your income and giving it to the house of God, so giving it to the church. I used to think that tithing could apply to all sorts of things, so I thought tithing would apply to me giving money to my favorite charity, or maybe getting, you know, a table at their event, or volunteering somewhere. So I kind of just mixed it in with general generosity. So if I'm being a good person and I'm being generous, that I checked off the box of tithing. Well, that is not true. Tithing is about money, and tithing is about giving 10% to the church.
Okay, so let's break down, because there are different words that we use, different words that are used, kind of categories or topics. So you have tithes, you have offering, you have alms, you have these different, so what is the difference? Let's just kind of keep it simple there. What is the difference between tithe and offering?
Yeah, so the tithe is the first 10% of your income that goes, and more typically, especially in today's context, is kind of more for the operation of the church, if I'm not mistaken. And then the offering is above and beyond that 10%. And as Kristen likes to bring up, that's where generosity starts. We're called to the first 10% in obedience. At 11% and beyond is generosity. And those are typically things like your Kicks for Kids that we do, Here to Stay campaign, like things like that. That's an offering. That's above your tithe.
So if you wanted to give to sending a youth to summer camp, That is an offering. You are still called to give your 10%. That is your tithe.
Because can I just be real with you guys this morning? Everybody cool with this? Like, because I'm just going to tell you how it is. So for example, we do Kicks for Kids every year. Our goal for Kicks for Kids is really simple. It is to raise as much money as possible to buy as many shoes as possible for as many kids as possible.
Right.
Really simple. Unfortunately, what's happened through the years, now it's honestly gotten better probably the last 2 years, but through the years, offerings for Kicks for Kids would go up. I mean, we would raise, you know, in the first couple of years, we've been doing it for 10 years now, I think. And when we started, I mean, this is how Kicks for Kids started. We bought 12 pairs of shoes, and it was everything that we could do. And then the next year, I think it was 25 or something like that. And then the next year, it was 50, and then 100, and then 200. And last year, it was 480-something, right? So just incredible. So, but the first few years, offering for these specific things would go up, and tithe would go all the way down. And I'm like, that's great. We're finna buy all these shoes for all these kids, but we ain't gonna have no church to go to. We can't pay the bills, right? So there is a difference, right? Tithe is, like Cody said, operations of the church, and the offerings are anything above and beyond that. Very clear and understandable, concise. Okay, so I think if you've been in church, so you grew up in church, grew up around church, you know what tithing is. Your parents maybe have done it, or you've just been exposed to it, you're familiar with it. How would you explain tithing to someone who doesn't have a church background or doesn't have a faith background or understanding?
Yeah, I would I really encourage you to think about tithing as it applies to you as opposed to the church. So for many decades, and I'm old enough to say decades now, for many decades.
That's when you know you're getting old, when you can say decades flippantly. Like, oh, a few decades. Ugh, you know.
So many decades. I decided I didn't want to be a room mom. I'm still not a room mom, by the way. And I didn't want to volunteer, and I wasn't super worried about giving to church. And the reason I thought that is because there were plenty of room moms, and they were doing a great job. And there were plenty of people volunteering at church, and they were doing a great job. And I'm glad to give my time and money, but I was doing it elsewhere because I thought that's where it was needed. And it was a just life-changing realization to me when I realized that the tithe and volunteering at church was for me. It wasn't for the church. That was how God was going to get my heart, through my tithe, through my volunteering at church. So it really, you just have to switch your attitude. That's what I'd say to a new person coming in. It is not just a line item to stick in your budget. It is about giving God your heart.
And I want to say this for Kristen, on Kristen's, like, Kristen volunteers in a lot of capacities in different organizations in the city. And so it's not like she wasn't doing anything and one day she decided to start doing something. So it's so cool to see somebody who's already a giver understand kind of, again, this key that unlocks generosity, right? Cody, go ahead.
What was the question again?
How would you explain it to somebody, again, maybe just doesn't have a church background, this concept this morning? Because
right.
I've actually, so a buddy of mine, started tithing, and it was a big step of faith for him, and it was so cool because he was so blown away at God's faithfulness in the way that he provided. So he was at work one day talking to a coworker about it, and his coworker was like, hold up, you give 10% of your paycheck to your church. Mm-hmm. Are you freaking nuts?
Right.
Like, this is a real conversation. Mm-hmm. And so how would you explain it to somebody that, again, maybe is in that situation, not familiar with it?
Right. So in biblical context, tithing pretty much originated, there are some cases beforehand, but pretty much originated as we know it today in Leviticus, when they were setting up the tabernacle and the tribe of Levi was separated from the other 12 tribes of Israel to be the spiritual leaders for all of Israel. And so they were dedicated solely to the Lord's work. That means they could not do any work outside of that. And so the other 11 tribes took 10% of all their crops, all their harvest, all their resources, livestock, and they gave it to the tribe of Levi to support the ministry. So that's where the idea of tithe kind of originates from, in some sense. So biblically speaking, that's the origin of it, just so you kind of understand where it comes from. And then just kind of as to why you would want to do it, is it supports the church. And we'll kind of dive more into that later on, so I'll kind of leave it at that.
Can I give you a personal example?
Absolutely.
So I get to tell this one in the second experience because my husband Rich was in the first one. But Rich and I committed to tithing before he was saved. So Rich was baptized last month, 2 months ago. And that was the first time he accepted Jesus into his heart. But we had committed as a family to tithing before that. And I think that's just such a personal testimony of the scripture that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he was willing to start investing in it, and God spoke to him through that. So,
yeah. Are there, is there pollen? Are there things in the room?
You know. Just a little bit.
And it's that you have no idea how much meaning and power that story has. Yeah. But it was unlocked, right? It's such a beautiful thing. Okay, let's talk about it. We're doing Summer Bod. We're talking about getting spiritually fit, conditioned. How or why would tithing be a spiritual discipline? Kind of what's the connection? How does this tie into discipline?
Right, so it's a spiritual discipline because it's an act of obedience and faith that we're called to. And it's something that we're called to do consistently. So therefore, it's a discipline, right? You're disciplined in that action. And through doing that consistently, like I love tithing because it's a physical, tangible act of faith that I can do. Whereas the day-to-day battle I have in my mind about whether or not God can do what, you know, I think he's going to do, or is he going to get me through this?
Like just prayer, for example. Like, you certainly can pray, but there's not a physical exchange, right? Versus tithing, where
it's tangible, seeing the numbers go from A to B, right, in an act of faith. But, you know, the day-to-day faith in your head, it's a struggle. It ebbs and flows. The reason being, sometimes the way that you think God is going to take care of something in your life, it's not the way he does it. And so you're like, oh, my faith is gone today because he didn't do it the way I thought he was going to do it. And but having that tangible act of faith is really helpful.
That's good.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And for me personally, it's just a way that our family decides to put God first. You know, money is, I think it's probably the number one cause of divorce. It's the thing that we all worry about the most. I mean, it's just on your mind and on your heart, and it's causing you turmoil and stress a lot of times. So if I put God first in that, I know when I'm getting paid, I know what I'm getting paid, and I usually have budgeted exactly what is going to be spent out of that month. So when our family sat down and said, God is getting the first 10% of this, it was a conversation our family had. So our marriage supported, my children support. I mean, it was just that physical act of putting God first and then other things follow. And I think it's really God's way of training us to be generous. So for those prior decades, when I was holding on to everything so tightly, I was exercising control and thinking I was in control of my life. And so to acknowledge that I'm not, and to open up my hand and to give God what is already his, I'm just opening up to receive more blessings. So I think it's training, because once I've conditioned myself to give that first 10%, it's a whole lot easier to think, oh, I'm going to give my time to church. Oh, I'm going to give this to somebody that I know and love at church. I'm going to give this to be generous on top of my 10%. It just, my heart is open to that.
That's so good. I think anything that you do consistently requires discipline, right? There's always going to be an opt-out. There's always going to be, for example, I mean, this is such a classic. I think most people can understand this. If you've ever tried to go to the gym consistently, man, there are just days where you don't want to do it. Even if you enjoy it, there are just days where it's like, ugh, right? And so with something like this that is a discipline, it's something you do regardless of how you feel, and the payoff is in the consistency. Right. When you do it consistently, then you get to see the effects of it, the long-term effects of it. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a beautiful analogy of it, because when you're trying to start going to the gym, you have that thought in your mind of, I'll start going when I feel better. Yeah. I'll start going when I feel up to going to the gym. And that's the first battle to overcome, and then once you overcome it, then it becomes easy. Same thing with tithing.
That's so true. So what is, let's get personal. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Personal. No, that's not it. Physical. That's not, we're not going to do that either. So what is, give us a personal example or personal story of how tithing has affected your journey or your perspective. So, you know, again, kind of let's bring this home. It's easy to talk about things in kind of theories and abstract, but let's talk about real life, brass tacks. How has tithing affected you, your walk with Jesus?
Yeah. So I've actually talked about that a lot in the video already, but I just had a moment where I had been really struggling with just, there was something missing, you know, that hole in your heart that only God can fill, that cheesy line, but I just knew there was something missing. So I started reading, I started listening to podcasts, I started just searching for what that was and praying for God to show me what that was. And I had a moment, I remember where I was sitting, where I was just like, man, God owns just everything that I had been blessed with. And that last song just meant something to me that, you know, God owns my marriage, my children, my home, my car. The breath that I wake up with every morning is a gift from God that, man, I'm grateful for. So for me, it was understanding that God owned everything. And I was just managing those seconds, that breath for him. And gosh, I'm going to do everything I can to make that for him every day.
Man, that's good. And it's when you put it into perspective like that, that we're just managers. Like, we didn't, because the American mentality is what? Like, self-made, right? I did this, pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Well, who gave you the boots, chief?
Right.
Like, where'd that come from? That job that you make so much money at? Like, who's the one that created the system in which you could even flourish? Like, everything ultimately comes back to God, right?
Right.
And so we're just managing. We are just stewards of what it is that he gives us. And that is so helpful to understand. Mm. But, sorry, Cody.
So,
I jump in a lot. I just, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just kidding.
So a major like shift in my perspective was whenever we were about to do our first run through of Accelerate, I was going back through our content and I was doing week one with Kristen.
So Accelerate, just if anybody's not familiar, Accelerate is kind of like a next step that we have mm-hmm. for anybody that's interested in discipleship, learning more about the church, learning more about the faith. So it's a 4-week, it's not a program. What do we call it?
4-week gathering.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
Cody and Kristen head that up, and it's incredible. Carry on.
So before we were about to launch the first one of it, I was going back through our content, just kind of polishing mine up and studying what Kristen had put out. But she was going over tithing, and I was going over the story of God. And part of that is the crucifixion. And it just so happened when I was in the part of her book that was about tithing, I was in the part of my book that was about the crucifixion side by side. And so I got to see that we are called to give 10% of our resources that were given to us by God when Jesus gave everything, his entire life, 100%. You can't really give any more than Jesus gave. And we were just called to 10%. So it hit me. Like, at the time, I was giving, but I was giving, and after I would give, I would have that feeling of scarcity, of lack, of fear, of how am I going to get through this? I don't know. And after that, I was like, man, I need to give more. And I'm so happy to do it because through that action, we are all saved. So
this was something I learned very early on that was very helpful. One of the most common verses that most people know, especially in the South, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what?
He gave his own son.
Right? Mm-hmm. God loved us, therefore he gave to us. And so our response is just to give back. And he's not even expecting from us as much as he gave to us, like
right.
you said.
And Jesus says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And in the story of the crucifixion, his disciples are trying to save him from being arrested. And he looks at them and says, am I to deny the cup that the Father has given me? So not only did he give everything, gave his life, but he saw it as a blessing to be able to do so. And so if he was seeing it as a blessing to give his life, I feel like I definitely can look at it as a blessing to give my 10%.
That's so good. All right, so let's talk about, because inevitably, again, maybe this is right, wrong, or indifferent, or whatever your experience has been, because it seems like everybody these days, the phrase that I hear so often is church hurt. And it just, frankly, it drives me nuts. I'm like, the church didn't hurt you, a person hurt you. Stop blaming the church for a person doing something dumb.
Right.
That's just how I feel. Can I be honest with you guys? So anyway, maybe you grew up in a church where, or you grew up going to a church where it was kind of mismanaged or, you know, just not communicated clearly. What are some misconceptions that people have about tithing?
Well, I think that's one I definitely wanted to talk about was the misconception that the church, the ministry misuses the tithe and the offering given to it. And the elephant of the room is it certainly has been. There's been times where certain organizations, certain groups of people have misused it.
Not here.
Not here. And so.
But, and the example that we talked about earlier
yes.
is, my guess is, and we don't have exact numbers on this, but probably 99%+ of churches do it right.
Right.
It's just the anomalies, the blips on the radar here or there that everybody tends to focus on. Mm-hmm. And then the assumption is that everybody does that. And we know that's not true. It's like just because one person does something doesn't mean that everybody does something. So go ahead. Sorry.
And just in speaking in terms here at Motion, the folks that would normally be the ones that are on staff paid at other churches are the ones that are the main contributors here at Motion. Yeah. I mean, in every way, time, talent, treasure, everything. Not to say that that's wrong at other churches. It is biblical that those that work in the ministry are entitled to compensation for their work for the Lord. But it just shows where the roots of this church are, where the heart of this church is. And so as much as I would love to tell you, no, this is definitely the place where you can feel comfortable giving, I think it's fair to say, as much as we would love to be a massive church, a very impactful church, if you don't feel comfortable giving here, then it might be something where you can look to another ministry, because that's your heart. That's where your heart is. Yeah. And so if you can't do that here, then I think you should find the place where you can.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to a podcast this week, talking about podcasts. And that was the idea. Like, this guy was, and he wasn't even really a church person. He was more of a business marketing, but he was talking about churches. And he was like, it's just so much more impactful when you see a church of 300 or 400 people who are just genuinely loving this church. It's a community for them. It's a family, versus a church of thousands of people where people just come, show up, check a box. And I'm like, but the only way that ever happens is when your heart is in it, right?
Right.
And the only way your heart is ever in it, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so I think there's just such an important connection between those two things.
The misconception that I want to talk about is just that tithing is just 10%. So it is 10%, but it is your first 10%. So the Bible talks about the concept of first fruits, which was in evaluating a sacrifice. You didn't bring a sick lamb to sacrifice to God. You brought your best. And that still applies today. So it's not just working it in. It is actually putting your heart in the right place and making it your first 10%, which I love. I talked in the first experience about an example in one of my books, which I'd be glad to share. But it talked about a FedEx driver. So when I take a package to FedEx and I give it to the driver, well, he's in possession of it now, but that doesn't make him the owner of that package. If he took my package and opened it and didn't deliver it to the ultimate recipient, I'd be mad at him. And so there is an owner of all things, and that owner is God. And you are managing. You are the FedEx driver for God. So if he has placed something in your hands to manage and he tells you to deliver it to someone else, you better do it. We are all going to report for 100%, not 10%. We are all going to report for 100% of the blessings we have been given. And that is your time, your talent, and your resources. So I pray to God that when I get called to account for that, that I am told I did best job that I could.
On a level of 1 to 10, like, how upset would you be if that Amazon package didn't show up when you thought it was going to show up? I mean, level 10 freak out, right? That's such a perfect example, though. We're stewards, right? This is not our package. We're in control or in possession temporarily, but it's not ours. We don't own it.
Right, and as we kind of segue into stewardship, I'm going to give an example real quick, if you don't mind. Just imagine if you came to us three up here, and said, hey, I've got to go away. I'm going to actually go and build a home for you three, us three. Right, I'm going to be gone for about 6 months, and every month I'm going to send each of you $10,000, and I'm leaving my spouse behind. So if you could please, just out of that $10,000 I give you each month, give my spouse $1,000. He needs $3,000 a month. He or she needs $3,000 a month to survive, right? And you go away and you build us a wonderful home, and you come back and you talk to your spouse. You know, hey, you know, did they take care of you? How was it? And your spouse says, well, yeah, you know, Kristen came by, stopped by once a month, gave me $1,000 and made sure that we were okay. And Chris, he came by and he gave us $2,000 and checked on us, made sure we were okay. And I mean, Cody, he would come by and Cody would give us $450. So, you know, thank you, Cody. But just imagine how you would feel if you gave us three $10,000 a month while you left your bride, which the church is the bride of Jesus Christ, and you go and you build a home, a beautiful home, the best home for us three, and one of us mismanages it. Because Jesus has left. He says, I'm leaving this place to build a better one for us. Right. So he's building us a home currently. How do you think he feels when we mismanage the blessings he's given us and doesn't properly take care of his bride that he's left? Yeah. So that's stewardship. You know, the one that can be trusted with much receives much.
Man, that's so good. If you haven't read Malachi chapter 3, if you have questions or just want further clarification, because it kind of does make that connection between not tithing is robbing God. Like, we are stealing from God when we don't give back to him what already belongs to him in the first place. And so, man, it adds just, I think, a layer of urgency and a layer of personal responsibility to it. So what are some practical ways? Let's say you haven't started tithing. You're considering it. What are some practical things that you could do to kind of move in that direction?
So I think definitely going over your budget, budgeting it in, making it a non-negotiable, understanding the reasons why you are doing it, understanding the reasons why you're called to do it, and stepping out in faith and doing it. And certainly, like we just spoke about earlier, is making sure that you're at a ministry in which you feel like you can comfortably do that and know that the ministry you're giving to is in alignment with God's purpose. And so that money is going to go and do what it is intended to do.
That's good.
I would tell you to pray about it. We forgot to say that in the first experience.
Right.
If you're looking for God to put something on your heart and
to
make sure.
To genuinely pray about it.
Yes.
Because y'all know
yes.
how we, like, okay, God, you know, right? And we just, it's a drive-by prayer. That's what we call those.
Yes. Well, because the way God speaks to me is through that teeny little voice. It sounds like a conscience, and I know it's the Holy Spirit. So I know y'all have that in there as well. And it's like, oh, I heard from this person at church and they needed help with this, or I saw this need and I didn't fill it because, man, it would take some time out of my schedule. But genuinely praying about it is exactly right. And then you're just going to have to step out in faith. I mean, that's, at the end of the day, just like every other piece of your faith journey, you are just going to have to say, man, I'm scared. I don't know how I'm going to figure this out, but trust that God will figure it out for you.
Because it doesn't make sense, right? Like, so we were talking about so many things in Scripture just don't make sense. So many things about following Jesus don't make sense. We call it the inside out, upside down kingdom, mm-hmm. right? It's like, well, to find your life, you have to lose your life. What? But if you lose your life, you find your life. It's, you know, it's the from death to life, from darkness to light. You know, all of these parallels or these conundrums, right, that we're working through. Well, giving, it's like, well, to receive, I actually have to give. And so it's one of those things that at the end of the day, like, you can be as you know, intelligent as you want to be, but there is an element of faith where you just, at the end of the day, you say, God, I trust you. It doesn't necessarily make sense, but I'm going to step out in faith and do it anyway.
And it's a muscle that you exercise. I think Shelley and Jordan talked about that last week, that once you do it and God met you there, you do it the next time and God meets you there and your faith gets stronger. I mean, that's literally how you're training. You're starting and you're scared and you don't know how it's going to work out, but then it does. And the next time it's just a little bit easier to step out on faith and do that. So you're training.
And I think one of the things that you guys mentioned earlier was you don't even have to start with the full-blown 10%. Start very small. If you just want to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to start. Here's $5, right? Or whatever the case may be. I read a book one time called Atomic Habits. Has anybody read that, heard of it? So there's a book called Atomic Habits. And the idea is you eventually will become the type of person that fill in the blank. And so using the gym example, he uses an example of somebody who went to the gym but didn't actually go into the gym. So he went to the gym and sat in the parking lot for a couple of weeks. And then he started to become the kind of person that goes to the gym. And then he went into the gym and did one exercise on one machine and left. And so he just started slowly over time, started developing this habit. It became a discipline. And then eventually he became a meathead. I don't know what the outcome was. But, you know, eventually it was a person who actually goes to the gym and lifts the weights and does all of the other stuff. And so I think it's just becoming the type of person. But start small. Start somewhere. Just do something, I think, is at the end of the day, if we take that away, then we take away enough.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah? Anything else? Any closing thoughts on that?
So my biggest, like, mentality around discipleship that I've tried to carry with me is that I'm on my way. I'm never quite there, but I'm always on my way. And so that kind of gives you a little bit of leeway to give yourself a little breathing room whenever you're struggling. Yeah. You're learning. You're getting better. You're on your way to becoming the person that God has called you to be. Yeah. And so I think that definitely plays a role in giving. Just know that you're on your way, but you got to leave. You got to leave where you're at right now and start heading that way.
And I would really tell you to do it today. I mean, do it right now before you leave. Because once you walk out of that door, you are going to think, oh, that was a nice idea. And we're not going to talk about it again for several years. So
Possibly. Today,
this is your instruction. Give to the church your 10% tithe. If you are starting at the $5, put the $5 in the little offering envelope thing at the back there. Figure out how to do it on your phone right now, but figure it out. Yeah. And don't be scared, but take the first step, and then the next one will be easier.
And as you grow that muscle, you'll start to realize that as you begin to give more, you need less.
That's so good. So, funny story, these two have actually been trying to get me to talk about tithing for a long time. And so finally I was like, look, if y'all want to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. So I thought, misery loves company. So here we go. Because it is so true. People get funny when you start talking about the money. Mm-hmm. Funny with the money. All right, last question. Has this been good? Is this so helpful, so impactful? Last question. How does tithing, and we're actually going to break this kind of like part A, part B. How does tithing support the church? And then part B would be, and why should everyone participate? So how does tithing support the church? Break that down.
So finding the lost and giving them an experience in which they might just find Jesus takes resources.
Yeah.
And so somebody's got to give the resources.
Yeah.
And especially if you're part of the church, you're part of the body of Christ, then you're called to be the people who give the resources to make that happen.
Yeah. I think can we just be very, very surface here? There are people who are like, wow, well, church doesn't need all that stuff and it doesn't need lights and it doesn't. Well, I'm like, well, you sure don't seem to mind that air condition that we're enjoying.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but my point is like, so how many people are actively attending or looking to go to a place that people are not investing in, a place that doesn't create an environment that is welcoming to them, that doesn't have a facility that is accommodating to them, their children have safety, elements of security, being clean, like all of these things that would, you wouldn't go into a restaurant and be like, it doesn't matter if it doesn't have, you know, clean tables. It doesn't matter if the food's a few weeks old, right? And so when it comes to church, like our understanding is that, man, we want it to be the absolute best that it can be. To welcome in people maybe who don't know Jesus, who haven't had a relationship with him, because at the end of the day, we're not trying to reflect ourselves. We're trying to reflect the heart of God.
Amen.
And it is a beautiful, creative heart. It is a God of excellence. Like, think about the complexity of the human body, right? Like, so with such intricacy and detail, God created each and every one of us. And so when we create something like this, an expression of the church, we're just trying to do it like he would do it. And so we create a space where people feel welcome to come, but all of that takes resources, takes money at the end of the day. But break down the difference. We're not just paying the bills. It's about ministry and life change.
So already fixing to get emotional.
Again, listen, this, I told him earlier, like this, y'all don't understand. Preaching for me is like my therapy. This is, y'all are my black couch. I just come in every week and I tell you everything going on in my life and you guys make fun of me and you hold my words against me and I love it. It's great.
So I didn't get the opportunity, obviously, to meet a lot of people that may have been giving to Motion at the time that I was saved. So that was a little over 3.5 years ago. But cool,
tell them just, if you're not familiar with Cody's story, just give them just the Cliff Notes version of your story.
So I struggled heavily with substance abuse. I would say that I was a drug addict. I was completely without God. I denied God. I was openly an atheist. And I had a friend invite me on a Wednesday night to do something completely outside of church activities. But he wanted to do it here at Motion. And that Wednesday night turned into a Sunday morning, turned into my eternal life. But I get the privilege every Sunday to break bread with the people that I know were major contributors to Motion Church at that time. I'm not only breaking bread with them on Sundays, but I'm doing life with these people. I'm building the Church of Christ with these people.
Yes.
And I know that when they were giving 3.5 years ago, they had my knuckleheaded butt up in their mind thinking about that's the ROI, that's the return on my investment, that's the return on my integrity. And so I'm not going to tell you why you should give. I'm just going to tell you why I give, and that's why I give.
Yeah.
Is because I know somebody like me might walk through those doors on Sunday morning, and this place needs to be up and running. And it needs to be a place that somebody feels comfortable, and it needs to be a place where they can experience God and find eternal life in that.
Yes. I mean, what else do you have to say, right? I think... How many of you guys have ever heard the song? I think, was it Ray Bolt's? Thank you. If you grow up in church, forgiven to the Lord. So we went on a missions trip to Haiti one time. And so we go to Haiti, and so they bring out the children's choir because they got to use the kids, right? And so they bring them out, and these kids in this Haitian choir start singing, "Thank you, forgiven to the Lord." Yeah. Right? Just wrecks you because you don't understand the impact of your giving until you see it. Until you see it, until you see the life that has been changed. And so, and I don't know what your story is. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've been a saint all your life. That ain't me, right? I did not grow up in church. I mean, I had a very sordid relationship with church. Like, I went because I had to go because mama made me go. I didn't like going, and eventually I stopped going, right? It was one of those sorts of things. And so when I started going to church, and my life completely got flipped upside down, and I'm not the person that I can't even... When you run through the possibility of, like, well, what my life would have been and what the path would have been, like, I don't know what it is for sure, what it would have been for sure, but I know for a fact that I'm not the person that I was, and I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not, again, not where I want to be, but I ain't who I used to be. Yes. And all of that is because somebody that I probably never even met gave to the church and created a space where my dumb butt could come into church and hear the gospel that there's a God that loves me in spite of me and all the things that I've done. And so when we give, man, we're not just keeping the freaking lights on, mm-hmm. right? We're giving so that lives can be changed for eternity. I'll clap for myself on that one. So impactful, man. Thank you, Cody. Thank you, Kristen, for sharing both of y'all's just very personal, real stories about all of this nonsense, all this... Not nonsense. You understand what I'm saying. I say really ridiculous things when I get emotional, and you guys got me emotional early and often, right? All right, last question, kind of the part B to this. So that's how tithing supports the church. You're not, I mean, obviously there is a business aspect to church. Like, of course, we can't call SWEPCO and be like, hey, y'all know we are church, right? Y'all gonna donate that electricity? And be like, yeah, we're going to donate your butt out of the, right? That's not how it works, right? So there's certainly a business aspect to it, but it's so much more than that, right? It is giving to life change, and that's why we tithe. Why is it important for everyone to participate?
Well, so we've already talked about that tithing is a spiritual discipline, so it's working on your heart. So every single one of us should be working on our heart to make it closer to Jesus, to be following what God tells us to follow. So number one, it's for you. Tithing is for you. Number two, only 15% of Christians tithe.
That's crazy. Say one more time.
Crazy. 15% of Christians tithe. And the
not 15% of the population, 15% of professing Christians, followers of Jesus, the God who gave his one and only son. Okay, anyway, yep, carry on.
That's right. And the mission of Motion Church is to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. And if we are not stepping on your toes and telling you that part of that means giving 10% of your income to tithe to God's church, then we're not doing a very good job. So not super fun to sit up here and talk about money, but it is for personal growth. And then can you imagine how many people could be reached for Jesus if 25% of the church tithed, if 50% of the church tithed, if 100% of the church tithed? I mean, the impact is...
Exponential. Yeah. Exponential. One of the criticisms, and maybe there is some validity to it, one of the criticisms you hear oftentimes of churches, well, like, oh, well, churches just don't do enough in the community. Maybe that's because they're under-resourced because only 15% of people are giving to it. Could you imagine, again, just like these hypotheticals, but what should be reality is, let's say it was 25 or 30 or 40 or 50%. That exponentially increases our ability. Then Kicks for Kids is not just something that we do, as an example, right? Kicks for Kids is not something that we just do at the end of the year. Then we have the opportunity to do things for, you know, back to school and things for, you know, other parts of the year. We can just do, in that example, we could do literally 3 or 4 times the amount of things that we do if that was the position that we were in.
Right. And then so I believe it's crucial for everyone to participate because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:21. So when you have a heart for the house, you become the heart of the house. And so if we have more people that are the heart of the house, that means we can have a bigger body. That means we have a more sufficient body, a more impactful body of Christ. And then it is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20:35. So it's we want a more blessed church. And if the church is giving, the church is more blessed than receiving. And that's not just your money. I mean, that's when you come on Sunday, are you contributing in some way? Is it your talent, your time, your treasure? Are you giving back to God? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:15. So if we collectively give and we become the mature body of Christ, then we're setting out to do the incredible things that he has intended that we can't even imagine.
Man, that's good. Hadn't this been good? So helpful. And you know what I love? We get up here and we talk about money and everybody's crying all over the place and snotting all over the place. It's just like, who expected that?
Because right? It's much more than that. It's much more than the money. And I think that's where it's tough to communicate this. But that, I mean, how the church has changed my life. Like, I mean, I can't see it any other way at this point.
Yep.
So
The last thought I have on that, as far as like why everybody should be involved, I think it is ultimately it's a matter of your heart and your personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that there's this assumption, there's a business principle called the Pareto principle. And the idea here is that 80% of the people do 20% of the work and 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Yeah.
Right.
And I think there's a mentality in church. It's like, well, other people, I mean, they're making it, right? You know, the lights are on and whatever, the air conditioners are running. Like, so they're making it, so I don't have to give. I don't need to give. So there's this kind of belief that, well, somebody else is taking care of it. Yeah. But it's our personal responsibility to be connected to the church in this way, not because of the financial aspect of it, but because of the heart mm-hmm. aspect of it. And so it kind of goes back to that. It's your responsibility. It is my responsibility. It's just each and every one of us have a responsibility to do this. Again, Jesus is not after your checkbook. Jesus is after your heart. The church doesn't want anything from you. The church wants something for you. And I think just understanding the heart behind all of this helps us to, again, kind of connect all of these dots.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful? Let's talk about continuing the conversation.
All right.
We talked about this
absolutely
earlier.
Absolutely. So what I would say is our time was restricted today, but I have tons of stories about how giving has impacted my life and the experiences of what God will do if I have faith. So if you'd like to continue the conversation with me, stop me anytime, ask me anything you'd like to know. I'll tell you story after story of what giving has done for me. So.
And I threw Kristen under the bus earlier. Kristen is a walking library, literally. I mean, she's got books upon books. And so I know she has, at least if you're interested, you want kind of further study or whatever, she's got some great resources.
And they're very short.
Yes, easy reads. Yep, something that you can maybe kind of take and just kind of dive into it a little bit more. And because we are very bureaucratic around here, that's a terrible joke. So we made a decision. We implemented a policy in the first experience, like, because that's how we did. We had board meetings and all sorts of things. So we decided this is how convinced we are, and this is not original. I actually stole this from my pastor years and years ago. We're so convinced that this is something that God wants for each and every one of us that we've implemented a new policy as of, I don't know, an hour and a half ago, literally. So our belief is, again, that God provides, God takes care of his children, God loves his children. So what we're going to do is we challenge anyone that has not started tithing, if you tithe and you do it for 3 months, and God does not take care of you, God does not provide for your needs, and he is not faithful like he said he would be faithful, we will give you back your 3 months worth of tithes. And so I guess it's one thing to ask people to do something that takes faith. But let's, on our end, we'll also do something that takes some faith as well. Does that sound good? Great policy. Woo! If you have any questions about that, ask Cody. He said he would take care of it. That's awesome. I've really enjoyed this, man. I thank you guys so much again for your vulnerability. And hanging out with me for a little while. I know that's a chore. So let me pray for us and then we'll move on. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you so much for the opportunity, God, to learn just a little bit more about you. God, not about what maybe our preconceptions or misconceptions are about money, but God, we're learning about you and we're learning about your heart of generosity, your heart that gives to us. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be like you, to give like you gave, to love like you loved. And God, when we give, we're not just giving for some natural cause. God, we're giving to make a difference in eternity. God, to impact somebody's life, God, in such a meaningful and tangible way. Father, we love you and we are so thankful for you. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen.